Well, we're going to just kind of waiting on the Lord here to for the direction. I believe this is the direction that we're supposed to go today. And just maybe one lesson here or maybe another on this theme, I guess you could say, that the Lord had spoken in my heart a few weeks ago called He Will Never Forget. Now, I know I had shared that it was around the time when we started a week before the commemoration of the bombing at the World Trade Center 21 years ago. And I hadn't really thought about it. All I heard was those words in my heart, and I began to pull some scriptures together and meditate upon that. But I wanted to share something today, which, and just look at the scriptures, but one thing I wanted to bring to light today is He will never forget our prayers. Never. And you need to know that He will never, say never, forget my prayers. Sometimes people go through seasons where they, just like what we've shared in the past lessons, man may forget and unhook, but God never forgets something. What does it say? That it is impossible without faith. It is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is. And he is what? He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So he will reward. We need to remember, whether it's 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, he will never forget that prayer that was prayed. It's recorded in heaven. And what does the scripture say? He said, I watch over my word to perform it. So he will make sure, he said, just as the rain cometh down and returneth not thither or to return back to heaven, he said, so shall my word be that goeth forth. It shall not return void unto me. That means he will answer those prayers that we've spoken or released in faith. That means, that's why to me, when we pray and release our words concerning our giving, he will never forget. And don't you dare. You remind God, I prayed that I believe I've received multiplication for my seed. I don't care if it's a dollar. You believe God. Because it pleases him. Hallelujah. So one of the things that, you know, we just in past lessons, God is faithful. He's faithful. He will never forget. These are the things that we've done in past lessons. He will never forget the blood of Jesus. He will never forget the blood of the covenant and all of the scripture that we have that's to support that. Hebrews 9, verse 12 in the Passion Translation. You know, we know this in the King James. He entered in once, forever, into the holiest sanctuary of all, not with the blood of animal sacrifices, but with the sacred blood of his own sacrifice. This is the Passion Translation. And he alone has made our salvation secure forever. Say forever. He will never forget the blood. The sacred blood of Jesus. He'll never forget that. He'll never forget that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. He was made sin for us, that we might be made what? Made the righteousness of God in Christ. He's not going to forget that. Ever. Neither should we. It's not based on feeling. This is based on covenant. This is covenant. He said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never forget that. He'll never, never leave you nor forsake you. What is Psalm 89, 34? He will never forget or alter that which he's spoken. Psalm 89, verse 34, my covenant will not I not break nor alter the thing which has gone out of my lips. He's not going to forget his word. He is the word. So God will never forget our prayers which come from us with words spoken in faith. When we speak in faith, and just something as, when I wrote some notes, he keeps a record of our prayers in heaven and watches over them to bring them to pass. And this is the thing I wanted to focus on. We're going to speak on this here a little bit today, on he will never forget our prayers. But God is big on words. God places great value on words. Words spoken in faith. Think about this. His words go forth. We were sharing. They go forth out of his mouth and they don't return void. Isaiah 55:11 is what we were sharing. But think about just when we talk about God and words, he spoke the worlds. He spoke the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and this universe. He spoke those with words into existence. Light be. All of the universe be. He spoke words. So he places great emphasis in the scripture on things spoken or words, right? He spoke to the winds. He spoke everything into existence with words. When he was in the earth, he spoke to the winds. He spoke to disease. He spoke to sickness. He confronted the devil with what? Words. He spoke to the devil. We, his body, are to confront and do what? Fight the devil with what? Words. Not your thoughts. Words. His words. And this is what Apostle Mike was sharing. We fight the good fight of faith with words. We fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. We fight this fight with words. So God places great emphasis on it in the scriptures, and we need not take it lightly. Words, and I know Apostle Mike was sharing it again this past few lessons. Words are more than just for communication. Words are containers. That's why I've shared in past lessons years ago, it's important we need to take stock of what we listen to, what we read, what we watch, because something came out of the heart of someone, someone's heart produced fruit in some junk. In what we may listen to, watch, or read. And those words, or that what came from someone's heart, came from some idea or something in their heart, and that produced some fruit, didn't it? Can be either be good fruit or bad. What does it say? Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall what? Eat the fruit thereof. So just regarding that, the scriptures that come to mind, what is God's say about words, his word? Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it, we're talking about words, it is what? The power of God unto salvation. I like this. This is in the Amplified Classic, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the what? The word. This is what I like, the Amplified Classic. It said, for the word that God speaks. I like the way that's written. For the word that God speaks is alive, full of power, making it what? Active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, of the joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, sifting, analyzing, judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So God's word, when it's gotten down into our heart, what have we all shared in times past about faith and prayer? Faith begins where what? The will of God is known. What is 1 John? Let's put that up. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For this is what? The confidence that we have in him. That if we ask what? Anything according to his will, he does what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have what? The petitions that we've desired of him. Does that sound like he's going to forget? Is there a time limit on that 1 John 5, 14 and 15? There's no time frame with that. He said if you come to him in confidence, knowing that you've asked something according to his will, he hears you. He hears you. And he answers. Hallelujah. So God's divine purpose here is that prayers come up before him, don't they? They come up before God. Look at this. We know this story here about Cornelius and Caesarea. Look at Acts chapter 10. This is why I say, don't take lightly your prayers and your giving. Because we have these things in the scriptures for our what? For our guidance and an ensemble. Acts chapter 10 in the King James. Starting in verse 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called what? Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave what? Much alms to the people. Some translations say out of his compassion, he gave compassion to those who were in need. And prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And look what he said. And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are what? Are come up for a memorial before God. Oh boy. Don't ever think that your prayers and your giving doesn't come up before God. He keeps a record. There's a record. So he never forgets the words that we've spoken. Let's take a quick look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 and 37. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 7. See, we're going to have to give an account for every word that we've spoken. Says, but I say unto you that every idle word, that just means non-productive or something that doesn't produce, that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in what? The day of judgment. So So that means there's a record being kept of every word that we've spoken. And it says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Let's look at the Amplified. Let's put that up, because that amplifies it, I guess you could say. It says, "But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak." Ouch. "For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced." So we need to remember that God puts great value and importance on the words that we speak. And He will not forget your prayers and words. He watches over them to bring them to pass. But the idle words, non-working words, we need to take stock of that. We need to ask God to help us. Does it mean we don't miss it? Does it mean sometimes this flesh gets out of control? It can happen. And we let words slip out. But we need to clean it up. We need to say, I didn't mean that, or I missed it there. Or you need to tell somebody, you know, I didn't mean that. You know, you get in the heated discussion, and you can let this flesh and this soul begin to say some things that you didn't really mean. It was just in the flesh. But we need to put a check on it and improve in this area. And we need to just say, what? I missed it there. I need to grow in this area. I need to control this flesh and just zip it. Have we all arrived? No, because we're always trying to put down this flesh and thoughts and everything else. But if we're going to achieve anything of great significance for God and anything of significance in prayer, we're going to have to watch our words. And it starts where we live, in just the things, interactions, the things that we do and the people we meet with, the people we work with. We have to control this. Control it where you're spouse is concerned. You know, you live up, as they say, up close and personal. And we need to, you know, always remember this. You can't change the person. You can't change them. You can't change the people you work with. But we can pray and we can watch the words that we use. And we can begin to control that. And be more effective in this area. Let's take a look at something here in the book of Revelation here. In chapter 8. Again, I'm just looking for a principle. This is where they've opened one of the seals, the seventh seal, but I'm just looking at this where God keeps a record of prayers. And this is why sometimes you'll see, you'll hear of men and women of God. Brother Hagin will talk about it, how they prayed for the body of Christ, or God showed them things that were going to happen. They saw a vision of something and they began to pray out the will of God for something that may happen 30, 40, 50, 100 years from now. Did those prayers just go to, where'd they go? I don't know. But look at Revelation. It says, "And another angel," starting in verse 3, "and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with what? The prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints. Where did it? Ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. So the prayers of the saints are being held. There's a time and a season for these things to be answered, but they're being prayed for. And the same thing, that we need to remember that prayers that we've released, prayers that we've prayed in faith, you know, we've read stories about you know, I know the early revivals, you know, when they talked about the island where former President Trump's, I think, aunt or her mother came from. His mother came from. And they talked about these older women that prayed for years for revival that would happen in that island off of Scotland. Years and years and years and years they prayed for revival. And it came to that island. It came to that island. And then his mother was part of that whole revival. So those prayers were answered, not forgotten. So those things that you have in your heart are things that God has put in your heart specifically, or there's things that you've prayed for, he'll never forget them. Never. Don't you ever let the devil tell you and yield to thoughts that God forgot, or maybe that's, no. If you have prayed something in faith, this is the important part, that God, what does faith say? It says, faith now what? Now faith is what? The substance of what? Things hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not seen. This is what pleases God. This is what God has been trying to say, even having Apostle Mike in and sharing some things that God has showed him about this ministry, that he said, God has raised up this ministry in this place to be a forward fire base to initiate revival in this area. Well, you might look and say, well, I don't know. Apostle Mike shared something with me in the car, and he shared it with Pastor Greg, that 30 years ago he prophesied to a minister who's very well known. I'm not going to say who it is because there's no purpose in it, but they're all over TV. They're very well known. And 30 years ago, they had nothing but like not even a storefront. And he prophesied to him about what God was showing him. And he said it came to pass. Didn't look like it. And for years and years and years, this man, you know, just was where he was at in their ministry. But not anymore. And so that's what God has been using. He, you know, when you have men that operate or women that operate in a certain office, God may show them something to help us, to keep steady, to not look at what is seen, but look at what is unseen. And the unseen is what God is trying to get across, and to watch your words. Don't say what you see. Say what you don't see. Say what is by faith. Faith confesses what you don't see. Why would you need faith for something you see? You'd know you have it. But in faith speaks, we which believe, therefore we speak. And we speak that which is not seen yet. So God is trying to get something across, and I'll just share this. It was another scripture here. It says in Hebrews 10:23, what does it say? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. The Passion Translation says, now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us. You have a hope. You have a what? An expectation. That's what that word means. I have an expectation. That expectation is not seen. And I'm to cling tightly to that, to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. What does that mean? He never forgets. But we need to cling tightly to that which we expect. Otherwise, you're not in faith. Faith is convinced of that which you have in your heart. Something God has put there, some revelation in the Word of God. You cling to that, that expectation. That's faith. And that's what the scripture says. God always keeps his promises. Man may not, but something that's spoken in faith, released in faith, what does it say? Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God is what? He's a rewarder. That means he keeps his promises. He keeps them. Don't let go. Don't let it slip. That's what the devil wants. That's why I've watched this. When people go through things, whether it's family, personal, whether it's children, spouse, sickness, money, whatever it is, whatever the mountain is, people get discouraged. And that's what the devil banks on, that you get discouraged and you let go, you let slip your expectation. This is what the word says. Hold tightly to the hope or the expectation that lives within you. Don't you dare get discouraged. Get somebody and say, tell me again who I am. Tell me from the word. Maybe you need somebody to just say it to you. Because maybe you need that. But don't you sit there and snibble over it and say, well, God, maybe. No, God never forgets. Never. Excuse me. He keeps his promises. Keeps his promises. Excuse me. Let me just remind us in closing. I wanted to just look at this again last night. Excuse me. But the words that Brother Copeland spoke to Pastor Sarah, they have application in a broader sense, but they have application where all of us are concerned. This was in 2003, talking about words that we speak. Said last night, says, but every time I started to move on it, it just seemed like it was hell. But I'll say this to you now. Well, no, let me skip that. We've already heard that. He talks about building the ministry house. He says, don't be concerned because you don't have to build it. I'm putting it together, saith the Lord. Now, this is what I highlighted. All you're required to do is be obedient and speak the words I put into your mouth. Be obedient and speak the words that I put into your mouth. Now he goes on. He says, now be very cautious and be careful about even your words you speak on a daily basis, even at moments when you're lighthearted. Be careful about the words that you speak. This is what I focused on. Because I'm turning up the volume of the anointing power on your words. Some of us forget about that. He said he's turning up the anointing power on her words. And he said, and they will work. And like Samuel of old, from this point on, I will not allow your words to what? Fall to the ground. They will enter into the atmosphere of the Spirit, and there they will work until the time of the end when the books are closed and we begin something anew. God does not forget and never forgets your words and your prayers. This case here, he's saying, your words will work until the time of the end. So we need to remind ourselves that God never forgets the prayers and the words that we've spoken. We're going to be judged by them. Every idle, non-working, inoperative word. And those words that we've spoken in faith, they're going to work. And if we don't foul it up with our words, they will keep working and 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 keep working till we see it. Don't say, I can't. Don't let those words come out of your mouth. Don't say I'm sick. Don't say I'm tired. Don't say I can't. Don't say you have lack. Don't say that. Because the more you say it, you're watering a seed, and at some point that seed will produce a harvest that you don't want. You don't want that harvest. Say the things that'll produce life. You know, I like this t-shirt that I bought years ago from when Eddie James was here. It says, speak life. Speak life. Speak words that produce. Are we all there yet? No, we miss it. But I'm saying, let's evaluate. Let's take stock. Let's correct the things. Let God speak to your heart and correct it. That's why I'm open. You know, I mean, if I need to correct something, I'm going to correct it. Because he's trying to get us to do what? Speak life. Speak words that he can work with. He wants to use every one of us in here, wherever we are, to do what? Initiate and propel this area into a revival. And it's going to be, how do we fight? Let's just close and remind ourselves here. Ephesians chapter 6. How do we fight with principalities and powers? I believe it's verse 12 or 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to do withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And what does it say? Above all, taking what? The shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word. The Word. See, the Word. Praying always with what? All prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What are we praying with? Faith and words. So he's trying to get us to watch our words, watch the things that we say and pray. And take stock of that, and where you are in your life, be open for the leading of the Holy Ghost. You know, we're coming up in this conference we're going to have in a month. Prepare your hearts to receive. Prepare those gifts that come in. That with Jim Hockaday and Leanne Sozeby and the Durants. Open yourself up to those gifts. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Prepare yourself to receive an impartation from those meetings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God is good. And I desire to grow in this particular area, see more, have more revelation in the Word of God, and speak words that, how many in our lives, we all want this, but we want to speak words that have an impact in someone's life, not just fluff, right? So we want words that are spoken that we believe and that they impact someone's life. And the way that's going to start is with us individually. The words that if you say something, but you don't really believe it in your own life, how can it be effective in someone else's? You got to start with you. That means the words that you speak about you, you must do what? Believe. And that's where it starts, the words that we speak, life and death, life and death. Amen. So God takes great value in words that are spoken, but those words, when they're spoken in faith, he never forgets them. The prayers of the saints come up before him. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that you lead us and guide us into all truth by your Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading and guiding us today, reminding us, renewing our minds to the truth, and reminding us that you are ever present, ever watching, never leaving or forsaking us, and guiding us into all truth. And you fulfill and watch over those prayers that we've spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, always remember, you know, sometimes we have to remember that we can get in agreement with someone, but we can't change another person's will. We can pray for an individual, and God can help them see something, and then they have to decide to do something. But we can't, if it was our will, we'd change people's minds to do right, do some things, right? And we sit back and we watch, and I'm sure God does, and goes, well, I sure wish why are they doing that? But all your wishing and a hoping, and even your prayers of faith can't change someone. It can get God to move on their behalf and help them see something, nudge them, But at the end of the day, they have to make a choice. They have to decide to do something. And so never, you know, when people don't do what you think they ought to do, never get upset. If you've prayed in faith and you know you've done everything that you could do to help that person and continue to pray and intercede, and they make some wrong choices, it was their choice. We may feel bad about it, you know, but if you've done everything you need to do, then you put your head down and go to sleep. Because you've done everything you know to do. And it was their choice. Just like it was your choice to follow God, your choice to obey, your choice to make corrections in your life, your choice, you chose. You can't make somebody else choose. You can't. So, you know, I know Pastor Clinton used to say with folks, when they'd come and go, he'd go, this is what Pastor Clinton used to say, next. Now, that may sound cold, but people make choices in their own life to do things. You try as much as you can to help them. You pray for them. But when they make that choice, next, I'm going to help the people that will come and sit and listen and support and follow you. And we pray for folks to get it right, intercede. But did the father chase after the prodigal son? No, he did not. Well, they have to make a choice to do what? Come back. Come back to serve God. Some come back sometimes to get things right in their life. You know? Because sometimes their heart, you know, number one, you may be the wrong messenger. Number two, sometimes their heart is not open to receive at that point. So you keep praying, and as you are led by God, you share the truth with people. Ann Durant shared something a while ago, a couple years ago, which I thought was very insightful. These are men and women that have served in ministry for years. She said, Kevin and I have this thing between us. We never question. If God prompts us to do something, we do it. But this is what she said. Just because I had a leading to do something doesn't mean it's the right time. And I thought, well, that's insightful. Because a lot of us get something, we go, we're going to do something. And we mess it up because it wasn't the right timing. And she said, when God prompts us or reveals something to us, we go, okay, I'm open, I receive that. And then she said, we wait for the right opportunity to release it. Because when it's the right opportunity, both parties' hearts are open. The one receiving and the one releasing. And everybody benefits. But if you chase off and do something, didn't say God didn't tell you to do it, but is it the right time to say something? Husbands and wives know those. We know we need to say something, but is it the right time? No. And you all know that when you unleash it and you go, well, that wasn't the right time. Yeah, you're learning. Right? So, I mean, that's just a natural application, but there are spiritual applications. Same thing applies. You know by God he's prompted you to do something or say something, but you need to wait until he says, okay, now's the right opportunity. Everybody's heart's open to receive, and he knows it. Amen. Goes right there. And we're all learning. Right. Glory to God. Well, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, what do I mean by that? You've never made him the Lord of your life. You know, if you make Jesus the Lord of your life, that means you make the Word Lord. That means everything that's in this book is Lord to me. That means I submit to it because he's Lord. And so if you've not done that, you know he is the Christ, but you've never actually professed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Maybe you believed he was raised from the dead, but you never professed that with your mouth. Then now's an opportunity to do that. And you may be here present or in watching online, but it's a very simple thing. You believe in your heart and you say words with your mouth to that effect. I believe Jesus is the Redeemer. He's the Savior of the world. He's now my Savior. I accept him as my Savior. Come into my life. Make something new of me. I believe he raised me from the dead. Is that song? Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. We got up out of the grave. We were redeemed. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He took my sins and took them to the cross, took them to hell, and when justice and sin was paid for, we were released from hell and raised from the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and also I was raised from the dead, and I was raised with him, and I am now seated with him in Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. I receive him this day, and I believe that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me and making me new. I receive eternal life, and I will serve him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're here today, and if you have done that for the first time, that means you accepted Jesus. That means you've become born again. You've received eternal life, and also, if you're watching online, just let us know, reach out to us, and we'll send some free information to you. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God.